Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I think about the day of Pentecost when your Spirit filled that early church and filled the believers. And God, they were changed forever. There was a new boldness, a new courage that came to them and that swept over them, Lord, that moved them to go and to tell the world about the good news of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray right now that that would continue in us. That your Spirit would move through us, Lord, even now. Moving us, Lord, to a greater love for you, greater obedience to you, greater unity around you. Lord, that we would just bless you, Lord. As your Spirit falls upon us, that it would create greater worship in our heart. As your people, Lord. Lord, you're the one thing, your presence is the one thing that separates us from all other people. So, Lord, let's not go through the motions, religious activity, but let us be people who are alive through the Spirit of Christ. We worship you, we love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead, have a seat if you will. It's good to see you. We're starting a new series this morning called Urgent, and the series is really looking at how we live in a time that is very urgent. For quite a while, I've had this sense in my own heart of how urgent it is for the gospel to be taken into the world, for there to be a different message than what we oftentimes are hearing from the world today, that we would be able to proclaim this message with courage and boldness. And so I was reading one day out of the Gospel of Luke, and I came across Luke chapter 9, and this is really where I want us to begin, is Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. And so this whole concept is that there's an urgency for us as a church to be the church, to go into the world, to share the gospel, to be together in this, to be unified, to be empowered, to go and do what God's called us to do. So it says in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus had called the 12 together, that's the first thing I want us to see, that he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. But if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. It's truth. I thank you for the way it still penetrates our hearts. Lord, let it find good soil in our hearts today to produce a harvest, a fruit, Lord, for your kingdom. We worship you today. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So how many of you recognize in your own life certain patterns of life, maybe things you just get up and there's a pattern to your morning routine? You just get up, maybe the first thing you do is you go make coffee. That's what I do. I go make a pot of coffee, and then I go get in the shower, and then I brush my teeth, and then, you know, those kinds of things. And so we keep going and doing these things just in this sort of pattern There's a pattern to life. There's a pattern, this habitual sort of pattern. Well, there's a pattern that we see in Scripture that is seen over and over, especially in the New Testament. And that pattern is this, that we are called together. Jesus calls us together. Jesus empowers us, and Jesus sends us to serve. And there's something that's really powerful about us being called together. There's an aspect of that that's like a family. We grow close together. We begin to love each other with a different type of love. We begin to have a heart for each other, to look out for each other, to care for each other, to mourn when others mourn. We rejoice when others rejoice. There's this calling together that's strong. This week, actually, we lost one of our family members, Jude O'Donnell, who was always here. You've probably seen him here. He always had the cowboy hat on. He was always smiling. If you knew him, he never greeted you really with a handshake. He greeted you with a hug. It was just one of those things. When I found out on Friday that he had passed, the first thing that went through my mind was, I wish I could have one more hug, because that was just what he did. He just came up and he would give the big hug and just huge smile on his face. And we're going to miss him. He's one of us. He was one that God called here to be with us, to gather with us, to be a part of this family. And that's what God calls us to, is to love one another with that kind of love, to be called together. And in this, we see where Jesus calls these disciples together. He calls them together. We go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. We see where Jesus calls them together. They're called together on this mountain. And Jesus tells them, then he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all nations. He says, go and proclaim this message. Go and teach this message. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we see this pattern again where they gather around Jesus. They're called together. They're empowered with authority, just like we see in Luke 9. And then they are sent out into the world to proclaim the message. You go to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The Bible tells us that they are again gathered around Jesus. They're asking him some questions about when the kingdom's going to come. And Jesus tells them it's not for them to know the times and the hours and the seasons, but he says this. He says, but you wait in Jerusalem until you've received power, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see this happen over and over again in Acts 13. Verse 1, you see where Paul and Barnabas are gathered with the church, and as they're praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit sets them apart, and the church sends them out. And it begins the first missionary journey of Paul. And so this pattern happens over and over and over again in Scripture, and it's no different for us. We are called together. If you go and look at this same passage of Scripture, this same account in the Gospel of Mark, you see where it tells you that they were sent out in pairs. They were sent out two by two. They were sent out together. They weren't sent alone. There's this aspect of togetherness that is in Scripture that is so important. There's a solidarity, or strength in solidarity. There's this strength that comes when we're together. It's why we talk a lot about being heart and soul. And where that comes from is back in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we see where Jonathan, the son of King Saul, is there with his armor bearer. There are some Philistines who were these unclean, uncircumcised people who opposed God and opposed God's people. And Jonathan looks at his young armor bearer and he says, let's go over to where they're at. Let's cross over this valley and let's go over and perhaps the Lord will give them into our hands. And that's when the armor bearer looks at Jonathan And he says, do all you have in mind, for I'm with you heart and soul. There's something that's so powerful about being called together and knowing that we have each other's backs. That's what heart and soul is really all about. It's about not coming and being a part of a church membership. It's about us coming together and saying, come hell or high water, we're going to go after the mission of God. It's saying that we've got each other's back. It's saying that we're going to mourn when one of us mourns, and we're going to rejoice when one of us rejoices, and we're not going to let petty things come between us, because we've got this greater vision, this greater purpose. We've been called to something bigger. And he calls us together, and it's around Jesus. It's not just a gathering. It's not just an assembly. The word for church literally means assembly. But this is not an ordinary assembly. This is an assembly where the presence of God dwells amongst us, dwells in us. And when we gather, his presence is here. He is in us, and we gather to be stirred, to be sent, to be empowered. We come together as a family, as one body, and he empowers us with authority, with his authority. You know how we pray a lot of times, and we get to the end of the prayer, and maybe it's at the blessing, and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. And a lot of times I think we do that. We really don't understand exactly why we do that. What I want you to understand about the authority aspect of this, because God always calls us, as we see in Luke 9 and the other passages I talked about, he always calls us together, and then he equips us with power. It's not just saying in Jesus' name so we could have some way to end a prayer. Like, we could end it in any way. I mean, we could just say amen, right? We could just start eating. We could end it in any way we wanted to end it. But here's the thing, we say in Jesus' name. Here's the reason why. There is authority in the name of Jesus. So that we go into the world and we go as God's people, we are going in the authority of the name of Jesus. When you look at Acts chapter 4, Peter has just been used by God to heal this lame man. And there's this big stir, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, all these religious leaders come, and they're trying to quiet Peter and John down. They're telling them, don't speak in this name anymore. And they tell them, we can't help but speak about the things we've seen and heard. We can't help but speak about this name, the name of Jesus. Because there is something about that name that tears down walls and tears down strongholds. And when you become a believer and you come to faith, you receive this power. You receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit we just sang about. And God endues us. He fills us. He gives us his power, his authority to go as a people into the world to declare his message. Here's a tragedy in the church today. We think that the whole purpose of it is just the calling together, the summoning to come and gather around Jesus. And that is huge and is important. It's when we come and we worship and we encourage one another towards love and good works. And that is a big part of it. But we've kind of forgotten the other parts. We've forgotten the need for the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten the need to be equipped and empowered to go and do what God has called us to do. We just kind of stop at gathering. It's kind of just become what Christianity is for us. It's just kind of going to church. It's kind of doing the church thing. But God didn't call us just to gather. He also called us to be empowered, and he also called us to go. And anything less than that is disobedience. Anything less than sharing the gospel with the world through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name and authority of Jesus is disobedience. Every single one of us are called to this. It's not something that just you or just one other person or just the professionals are called to. Every single one of us are called to carry this message into the world. We're called together as the body to be empowered, and yet not just to gather, but to scatter into the world and share the gospel. And here's the thing I realized. That is very intimidating, isn't it? It can be very intimidating to tell this story, to tell our story about Jesus. But here's the thing that I will tell you is it may feel awkward, but we live in a country where it's probably not going to get you killed. There are a lot of places in the world that if you are caught sharing the name of Jesus with someone, you're caught sharing the story of Jesus with someone, you're caught worshiping Jesus with the gathering, with those he's called together to gather around him, that you will be killed, that women will be raped, that they will do awful things to you. For us, it's just a little bit of awkwardness. But what does that say about where we are as Christians if we can't in our culture share the gospel? It means that for us, it's time for us to press into Jesus more, to be endued with power, to have a conviction and a boldness to tell others about Christ. That we're to gather, yes, but that's not the end. We gather and we are encouraged and spurred on to love and good works, and we're empowered and we're endued, and we go and we share. I remember when I first got saved, and I've shared this story a couple of times over the years. When I first got saved, I wanted to share my faith so bad, but I was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know where to start. And my wife and I, Susan and I were living in Waynesboro at the time. I was working in Statesboro. She was going to school in Augusta. We were living in Waynesboro. I pull up and at the grocery store. She runs in to go get something. I go park the car. I see this lady. She's pushing this big buggy of groceries. Older lady, just groceries, just hanging off the side. And she looks like she's struggling a little bit. I'm like, here's an opportunity. I'm going to go help this lady. I'm going to share the gospel. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to do it because I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I get out, and she's kind of walking by. I don't know if you know about Waynesboro, but there's probably some crime in Waynesboro. I'll just put it that way, right? And so I get out, and I'm like, ma'am, can I help you? And she's like, I got it. I'm like, ma'am, can I help you? And this is like how intense I was then. I was like a bull in a china shop, right? I was just like, I'm going to help this lady. I'm going to help this lady, and I'm going to share the gospel. Probably had a crazy look in my eye. I'm like, I'm going to help her. And I get out, and she's like, I got it. I'm like, let me help you. She's like, I got it. And like, she starts walking faster. I start walking faster. I'm like, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. It was awkward. I get back to my truck, and I'm like, boy, I'm an idiot. But I'm still here, right? I'm still here. Awkwardness isn't going to kill you. It might feel humiliating, but it's okay. And the great thing about this gospel message that Jesus sends them out to tell is it's not complicated. It's really not. There may be some theological questions that come up along the way that get really deep and we need some explanation for, and maybe we don't have the answer, but we can get the answer. But the story's really, really simple. The story is really simple, that humankind has sinned and fallen short, that God loves us so much that he sent one to take our place and take his wrath for our evil and our sin, that God accepted that sacrifice, that he's been raised from the dead, and now all who believe in him will have eternal life. And now all that believe in him will now be able to live a new life. It's not a complicated story. It's not a complicated gospel. It's just the good news. And you can share this. You can share who you were before Christ, how you met Christ, and who you are now, and how he's changed your life. It's not complicated. We just have to be motivated to share it. And we begin to see who he is, and we begin to remember what he's done. That becomes our motivation to share the gospel. And I can promise you this, if you love Jesus and you fall in love with Jesus, there's going to be a motivation. If you're pressing into Christ, there's going to be a motivation. There's going to be an urgency in your heart and in your soul to go tell somebody about Christ. I don't recommend chasing them around a grocery store parking lot, but I will say this, there should be an urgency in us to share. That God called us together. Because there's strength in solidarity. He calls us together to be heart and soul, to have each other's back. He calls us together to be empowered and equipped. And then he says, go. In my name, in my authority, go and share the gospel. Pray for opportunity, look for opportunity, and share the gospel. And when we, as Paul says in Romans 12, when we get a view of his mercy, it's the reasonable thing to do. I was thinking about this passage. This passage has really been on my heart, especially this morning, but the last few days. And it's in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, if you've been around church and you've heard this passage, but Isaiah was a prophet of God. Verse 8, I want to read this, and then we're going to back up. The other verses probably won't be on the screen, but you can follow along on your phone and your Bible. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says this, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And that should really be our declaration. When the Lord says, "Who am I going to send? Here am I, Lord. Here I am. Send me. But Lord, don't send me if you're not going with me. Fill me. And God, I thank you that you don't send me alone, but that I've got my brothers and sisters around me." What motivated Isaiah to do this? I mean, he volunteers before he really even understands the assignment. You got to go back up and pick up in verse 1 where it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died," he says this, "I saw the Lord." Here's my question to you. Have you seen the Lord? Not with your physical eyes, but with eyes of faith. Have you seen the Lord? Because there is something so powerful and something so necessary that we see the Lord with our eyes of faith, that we behold him. He says, "I saw him high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." He sees this glorious image of Jesus. This glorious image of God and his robe filling the temple. He says, "Above him were seraphim, these angels with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." I would love to see something like that happen again. How I would love to see the day of Pentecost sweep across this church again. That there would be a mighty wind that blows through here. That there would be a fire that settles on each one of us, that consumes us to the point that we become the church that God calls us to be. Not just a church that gathers, that is great, but also a church that is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and wants to go and share the gospel with the world. It could be through going into your workplace and sharing the gospel when there's opportunity. It could be going to the ballpark. Lord knows we all spend some time there, most of us. If you got kids, you spend some time at the ballpark. It could be in a restaurant. It could be going and planting a church. Maybe God's calling you to go start a church. It could be going overseas to start a church. But that the Spirit of God would sweep it through us, that He would fill us again and again and again, giving us this desire to go, to be sent. Not just to settle for an occasional gathering. As we were praying and they were singing about the Holy Spirit, it's like part of me didn't want to get up and come up here because I'm like, God, I don't want to go through the motions. We're singing this song about if you're not going with us, then don't send us. Like, God, I don't want to step foot up here if you're not going to move. If you're not going to do what I can't do, if you're not going to do what we can't do, God, we need you. And we sing these words like all we need is you, all we want is you. But is that the true cry of our heart? Is that really what we want? And Isaiah sees the glory of God and the threshold shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. I don't know, I can't remember if I've shared this. I don't think I have. But there was one night I came up here by myself on a Saturday night. You can think I'm cuckoo, it's fine. But I come up here on a Saturday night, turn some music on. I closed the doors to the sanctuary, or to this auditorium, because I didn't want somebody sneaking up behind me. And I just turned some music on, and I began to worship. And there's this old song. One of the verses in the song is, "Let it rain. Let it rain." And it just says it over and over again. It just says, "Let it rain. Let it rain." And I don't know, maybe you remember, probably don't, but the week before this, as we were during a time of prayer, I told you it was like I'd seen a cloud over the congregation and that the Holy Spirit was hovering over us, and what we needed was for the Spirit of God to come down. And as I'm walking around and this song is playing and I'm just praying for, this is Saturday night, I'm praying for Sunday, I'm praying for God to move in just an incredible way, and I get right back over here in this backside of the auditorium, and I felt like the Lord just said, sit down. And I sit down, and it's this thought of let it rain, and let your Spirit rain down, Lord. Let your Spirit rain down. Let your Spirit rain down. Let your Spirit rain down. It's just going over and over in my mind. And I've got my head down, and I'm just praying. Again, you can think I'm cuckoo. I don't care. As I'm praying, I lifted my head up and I looked, and I literally could see what looked like clouds billowing across the ceiling. And there was nothing over the stage. It was all over the seats. And in my mind, with my eyes, I saw then what I had seen in my mind the week before. My first thought, I wish I could say, was the glory of God has descended. But it wasn't. My first thought was, I better go smell this and make sure the building's not on fire. And so I get up and I walk from one end to the other, and I've actually got pictures of this where it was just like it's billowing of smoke, of haze. And I was like, well, maybe the hazer is on. So I call Tyler. I'm like, Tyler, dude, like, either God's here or the hazer's on. I don't know which. But it feels like the presence of the Lord, you know. I'm like, this is kind of different. And he's like, No, the hazer hasn't been on since Thursday. Like, all right. So then I walk up here and I look and it's just right here. And it's just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And I'm talking to Tyler and I'm like, man, I don't know what to tell you other than this place is filling up with smoke. And I'm like, this is incredible. And again, I took pictures and my thought and my cry was like, God, just descend upon us. Let your presence fall upon us. God, fill us again. Let us be the church, Lord, that you created us to be. Let your spirit fall upon us. And then Tyler, I believe I'm getting this right, he called me back. And he said, I'm going to turn on the air and it should clear it out. And so Tyler turned on the air and blew away the presence of God. But it was such a supernatural thing. I felt the presence of God so strongly. I started calling people. I called my wife. I'm like, Susan, you got to come up here and pray. I called some friends. You got to come up here and pray. I just started calling anybody I could. I just like, just come up here. Just come up here and pray. Just come up here. The presence of God is here. Come up here and pray. And guys, that's what we need. We need the presence of God. When we gather, we need the presence of God. When you're reading your Bible, you need the presence of God. When you're in the world, you need the presence of God. We need the presence of God to fill us. We need the authority of Jesus, and we need it to motivate us to go into the world and declare the gospel, because there is an urgency that people come to faith and know Jesus. Last week, we saw 7 people come to faith throughout the weekend. We live in a time where people need hope. We live in a time that is driven by fear. And people need to know that there is hope. They need to know that there is a place that they can belong. They need to know that there is a God who is powerful enough to deliver them from their sin, whatever their struggle is, whatever they're going through. And he doesn't just deliver us, but he gives us power and he gives us a purpose. And my challenge to us is this, that we press into God past the gathering, which is so important, but we also press in for the filling of the Spirit, for the power of the Spirit to move in the authority of Christ so that we can go into the world with an urgent message, knowing that we are not alone. That I have other people who are heart and soul behind me. I have people who have my back, just like that armor bearer with Jonathan. And Jonathan's going through, and it says he's fighting, and he's swinging the sword, and he's fighting these Philistines, and they're way outnumbered. And it says his armor bearer is right there with him, and he's coming along, and he's killing behind him. And can you see these two young men, and they're just going into this battle, and they're fighting, but the power of God is with them, and they're defeating the enemy. People, listen to me. That is the same thing that God calls us to do, is to go into the world, but we don't swing this physical sword. We swing this sword, which is called the Word of God, and we do it through prayer. So we go through, and just like these disciples in Luke chapter 9, they confronted evil. They were casting out demons. That's what we do. We go and we confront evil with the truth, but we don't do it with protest. We do it with prayer. We swing the Word of God. We take down the enemy. There's another portion of Scripture, and this is where I'm going to end. There's another portion of Scripture where Jesus sends out 72. Some say 70, some say 72. And they go out, and he gives them authority again. And they go out, and they preach the kingdom, and they cast out demons, and they come back, and they're all excited. about Jesus. They're like, Jesus, Jesus, listen, listen. Even the demons obey us. Even the demons obey us. And Jesus tells them, he says, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But don't rejoice that the demons obey. You rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And when he says this, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I used to think that what that meant was when God cast Jesus out of heaven, he saw him fall like lightning from heaven to the earth when God cast him out of heaven. But as I began to study it more, what Jesus was saying was, listen, as you were going and you were proclaiming the gospel and you were casting out these demons and you were doing work in my name, he's saying, I literally saw the kingdom of darkness being torn down. But even greater than that is the fact that your name is written in heaven. And we, whose name is written in heaven, are called to go into the world empowered by the Holy Spirit to declare a message that pulls down the kingdom of darkness and establishes the kingdom of light. That's our call. And it's an urgent call. It's an urgent call. I want to share this because I think it's so powerful. I was told by someone who was there when they found Jude. The coroner comes over and goes into the house, and he comes back out. And he tells someone else in our church, he says, well, I have no doubt where he's at. And Chris, who was the one there, said, what do you mean? I think Guy may have been there too. He said, what do you mean? He said, I saw his prayer closet. He said, that doesn't happen very often. What an incredible thing, right? To know that your name is written in heaven. To be called together with a group of people that you know got your back, come thick or thin, who are going to hold up the shield for you, who are pressing in and filled with the same power and living in the same name, declaring the same gospel. Can you imagine, church, what that looks like if we embrace that, heart and soul, embrace that together? An incredible thing. What an incredible thing. I want to pray for us. Maybe today the cry in your heart is, God, fill me with your spirit. If that's you, then while we're praying, I just want you to stand to your feet, just acknowledging, God, right now, would you fill me? Would you fill me, God? Would you give me the comfort and the courage and the boldness to go into the world and declare this message of the gospel in the authority of Jesus' name with love and grace, the same love and grace and mercy you've given me. If today you say, I want more of the Spirit, as I pray, why don't you stand to your feet? Father, we thank you that you would pour out your Spirit upon us again and again and again. We lift up our hearts and even lift up our hands to you and say, Father, fill us with the overflowing power of your Holy Spirit. God, convict us. Convict us, Lord. God, I thank you that the message is greater than the messenger. We even see with Isaiah that when he saw you, he knew he was a man of unclean lips. And yet you went and got the coal. The angel got the coal from the altar, touched his lips and said, now you're clean. You meet us, God, at our point of weakness. Thank you, Father, for that. God, as we repent, as we turn to you right now, Would you fill us again to overflowing with the power of your Spirit? Would you fill us again, God? Pour out your Spirit in us, God. Shake the very thresholds of this place. Shake the very building that we're in through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we could be filled to overflowing with you and compelled by your great love to share the gospel. That when that moment comes and that opportunity is there, we would breathe you in, knowing you are with us, knowing that you are there, knowing we have brothers and sisters who are doing the same thing throughout this community. And let us be the church, God, that you created us to be. We love you, God. Bind our hearts together through the power of your Holy Spirit. Empower us through the authority of Jesus and the power of your Spirit. And God, send us. Let our cry be the same as that of Isaiah. Here I am, send me. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.